Welcome to another episode of the Hockey Update Podcast. This is your host, Bruno, and today it's just the intro, and then we're going to dive a little bit deeper into the Calgary Flames summer, because yes, as you might have guessed, this is a hockey podcast, and in fact, we're going to talk about hockey. Surprisingly enough, that's going to be the meat and potatoes of this podcast for the majority of time, I'm assuming, and yeah, this is just the beginning. I'm just getting started, so I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. I think the plan is to have an episode come out each week, probably Monday morning. I'm recording on the West Coast, so I'll record on Sunday nights, potentially releasing an episode every week that comes out Sunday night Pacific or early morning Eastern time, so that you have a podcast available to you for your Monday morning commute to work, or for whatever you do on your Mondays, or any other time of the week whenever you decide to listen to this podcast, which I'm already thankful for that, because if you made it this far, it means that you pressed on the little play button. So yeah, I'm glad you're here, and hopefully you'll enjoy what you're hearing, and you'll stick around, because there's going to be more content coming. My plan is to have, like I said, a weekly episode during the week, during the regular season. And I'll probably release more random scattered episodes before the season actually starts, just because of the time that I'll have available to me and the different topics that I actually want to cover that are a lot and different. And there is very many teams in this league and so many things to talk about, so many different situations and so many different aspects of the game that I'm interested in, from making projections to analyzing prospect pools to fantasy hockey stuff, which I'm really fond of, and hopefully you'll find it enjoyable. And so yeah, without further ado, let's get into it. So let's get started on the Flames. So as everybody's probably aware, in the hockey world, the Flames have had a monster season. So many things happened, so many different things, trades, signings, I mean, everything that anybody could possibly ask for. I mean, depending who you ask, if you ask Flames fans, probably not what they expected. I mean, they might have gotten what they wanted, but just to recap, I feel like it's worth to mention the context in which everything started, because the Flames didn't win the Stanley Cup. They didn't get really that close. They definitely made it to the second round, and it was a tough, tough way to the second round, because they won in 7 games against Dallas, which on paper was a much, much weaker team, and it still took 7 games. And then they got to the second round, found the Edmonton Oilers, who proved to be staggeringly better, to a point where the Flames could not come back any way, shape, or form, and they lost in 5 games. Although they won the first one in very crazy fashion with I don't know how many goals in the first minute, and yeah, never came back from that. And I know that it's not Johnny Gaudreau's fault nor Matthew Tkachuk, because Gaudreau scored the OT winner to win the first series, and the problem wasn't definitely the offense in the second series. It was more, if anything, goaltending. But without getting too much into that, I just wanted to give context to what happened afterwards. Because then there was the rest of the playoffs. The third round and the Stanley Cup final went on. And in this whole time, a certain player named Johnny Gaudreau had time to think. And so to me, it was pretty shocking when the decision of him to leave to go to Columbus happened hours before the free agency start. Because let's be clear, he had months, and I mean months, to decide what he wanted to do with his future. So then it gets to hours before the trade deadline starts, free agency opens, and he makes it known that he won't stay in Calgary. He is going to sign somewhere else. And to the shock of pretty much everyone signs with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I don't think that was foreseeable in any way. And I mean, good for him. I do not have any resentment towards that decision, because that he was a free agent. He did what he wanted. You can argue he could have given a little bit more heads up to the team, but in his defense, he has said many times that he tried his best and was just a tough decision to make. And so he couldn't come to a decision before, or with more time before the beginning of free agency. And that kind of stunned the Flames, I think, and the front office, because it was radio silence for a bit until another piece of bad news came in, which was that Matthew Tkachuk wasn't willing to re-sign long-term. And that, I think, stung a little bit more, just because it was a weird decision. Although there was rumors that he just wanted to play back in the States for whatever reason, because I mean, I genuinely don't understand why certain players have this thing about, oh, I want to play in the States. It might be taxes, whatever. It has been made clear, even on the podcast with Alan Walsh, that a good accountant should be able to make up the money that you lose in terms of higher taxes in Canada compared to other states, or compared to the States in general. But anyhow, that was his decision, and I think he made the right choice in telling the team with plenty of time, because he was an RFA, so basically the Flames still had some sort of control. And to Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Flames, and to his credit, he went out and got a monster haul for Matthew Tkachuk, because he got Huberto Weegar, a first rounder, and a prospect in Cole Schwind for Tkachuk. And I mean, you can say what you want, that both Huberto and Weegar were unrestricted free agents, but that's still a lot of stuff. I mean, if you consider that there is an extra first rounder and another prospect, that makes it a pretty valuable trade, considering that the Flames had just basically cleared a ton of cap space in not re-signing Gaudreau and not having to re-sign Tkachuk. So basically, they did lose a lot in not re-signing Tkachuk and Gaudreau, because they lost over 200 points, 80 goals, and almost 90 primary assists in the two of them. And not to mention, they formed the best line in hockey with Elias Lindholm. So yes, there was a lot that went out the door, but I feel that trade put the stepping stones for what was to come afterwards, because the Flames lost a lot, but they got another 115 point scorer in Jonathan Huberdeau. They got an excellent defenseman in Mackenzie Weegar, who adds to a blue line that's already pretty full, but you can never turn down talent and skill when it's given to you. So I feel like all in all, that was an excellent trade. I don't think there is any other way to look at it, especially now that we know that Huberto has re-signed long-term. Yes, it's a monster deal, but only time will tell how that's going to go down. I feel like it was going to be impossible to re-sign him to anything other than that. So I'd rather keep an excellent first-liner and elite player rather than not, and losing him for nothing at the end of next season. So Mackenzie Weegar still remains unsigned. However, there is strong rumors that he might re-sign, and if he doesn't, it would hurt. It would definitely diminish the value of the return that they got for Tkachuk, but the blue line for the Flames is not a weakness at this point, in my opinion, so it wouldn't be as bad. Whereas if they weren't able to re-sign Huberto, that would have been a catastrophe, because they would have lost over 200 points and got 40 points back in a defenseman and a first-round pick. Like, that's not going to cut it if you have any plans of staying in contention for the Stanley Cup, which seems like the Flames are willing to do and want to. And so then the Flames continued on and re-signed two of their biggest RFAs, which were Mangiapane and Shillington, and they got them on pretty friendly deals. They're shorter term. Mangiapane, who was 40 point scorer, still is making a pretty penny in $5.8 million for 3 years. And Shillington is on a shorter bridge deal for 2.5 times two. And I think those were excellent signings because you just had to keep those guys, especially Mangiapane. I don't think the Flames had any room to not pay him. Shillington, perhaps. I mean, he was a great addition to the Flames this year. I think he had his best season so far, and he's an excellent puck mover. He might be a little bit of a liability on the defensive side, but you need players that can move the puck, especially outside of your top two and your best defenseman. So it's always good to have a depth defenseman that can actually play some offense and move the puck. Also, I guess I forgot to mention that they signed Kevin Rooney on the first day of free agency, which in the Flames realm shocked many, not because of the signing in itself. I mean, two times $1.3 million, it sounds a little bit excessive for a fourth line center, but I think what stunned everyone was that it was just like on the first day, kind of just out of the gate, jumped on him. And to be honest, I don't think I've heard Kevin Rooney many times before. He's just depth forward, probably going to slot in the fourth line, and yeah, just going to have a heyday with Trevor Lewis and hopefully Lucic, if he can stay healthy, which seems like he has been, and that would be a tough fourth line to play against, but could also be a matchup problem if you have a very speedy line on the other end, but I guess we'll see how that goes. And so then this brings us to the Flames signing Kadri in the last week, which was massive. He gets signed to a 7 times $7 million deal. And the Flames had to offload the Sean Monahan contract to the Canadiens for a first round pick, which might be steep, but at this point it's clear that the Flames are completely all in and they're trying to just keep open this window of contention that they've started this past season. And therefore, to me, this makes sense. Monahan is a liability in the sense that nobody knows how he's going to come back from two hip surgeries in consecutive summers. So yes, might be a bit of a steep price, but he's also $6 million on the cap. So this just frees up the space for Kadri to come in, and the Flames actually still have, according to Cap Friendly, $2 million in cap space for this season. So again, some room to tinker around the edges if needed, possibly add another winger. But I think that at least the Flames now have probably replenished their top six anyway from the departures of Tkachuk and Gaudreau. So that means that the Flames will probably still be competitive. I would bet that they can make a playoff spot this season, considering the state of the Pacific at this moment. However, it remains to be seen how this transitions to the playoffs, because as much as the Flames had a decent run, I think what crushed them is the expectations, because the Flames came into the playoffs and on most people's radar, the Flames were a pretty strong contender in the sense that they had a solid team and they played the so-called right way, very reliably on defense and excellent offense. But the problem was always that it was a one-line team for the majority of the season. And when the first line got shut down, it was clearer than in the playoffs, the team was not going to go far, and that got exposed badly against the Oilers. So in that sense, I think it's fair to say that now the Flames have added different players, which might not work, but it's at least different, because I think the Flames, as much as they've lost two of their most iconic players of the last 5 years, they hadn't gone anywhere with those two players. As much as it's sad to say, they have won two series with Gaudreau and Tkachuk. And other than that, there was a whole bunch of nothing. And obviously it wasn't all their fault. But at the end of the day, if you have your top two players on the team that have never seen any sort of continuous success, it's really tough to commit to them on long-term deals like they would have required. So in my opinion, I think this is a good transition, and it might be a blessing in disguise because, you know, you never know what's going to happen if you change the mix. It might be catastrophic and you're going to be stuck with Huberto's and Kadri's deals for the next 7+ years, or you might find yourself in a much better spot because Kadri adds a lot of experience and fresh cup winner, and Huberto is an excellent playmaker, which also has a couple extra pounds on Gaudreau. So that could also mean that might be fitting Daryl Sutter's system better. And this could lead to a much better playoff run. Although, who knows? I think that at the end of the day, I think what the Flames did was totally reasonable. They didn't sit and wait for some crazy trade to come. They were proactive. They did what they needed to do. They lost two massive pieces, but they came back and replenished that first line, which was the main problem. Yes, there might be the need for other players to step up, in the sense that Mangiapane or Toffoli especially might have to pick up the slack and produce a lot more. I mean, Toffoli in particular, considering his skill and his ability to finish, if he is given a first line role, he might actually explode this year. And who knows, with Huberto and Lindholm, that might be a lot of fun. And now the stability that Kadri given to the Flames at center, that opens a lot of possibility in terms of lineup and possible different reshuffling of the lineup. It just gives Sutter so many different options and so many different ideas that he can try. And although Sutter likes his lines, and when they work, he's not super keen on changing them, I think that there's going to be a lot of shuffling, at least at the beginning of the season, or maybe just the preseason, as Sutter is known to do. But I think that this also creates a bottom six for the Flames that is going to be rock solid, in the sense that Michael Backlund is going to be a third line center for the majority of the season, I'm imagining. And that creates a very good shutdown line. And that could potentially become the strength of the Flames, to have a line that can match up against anyone and still leave two producing lines that have the time in the offensive zone, that can produce, can do their thing without having to worry too much about the matchups and the defensive assignments. So in that sense, I think it opens up a lot in terms of offense, especially once it gets deeper into the playoffs where the matchups become crucial. And then you have the fourth line, which is going to be a bunch of old timers unless there is injuries and there is young players coming in. But if it's going to be Lucic, Rooney, and Lewis, it's going to be an old but rough line to play against. You are not going to want to get stuck in your own zone with those three coming at you full tilt, because it's going to hurt and it's going to be fun to watch. But yeah, so that's probably the update and my take on the general summer of the Flames. And my next episode will look at other teams that I think did well in the free agency and other teams that I feel might have underachieved. And so, yeah, stay tuned, and there might be more content coming soon. Thank you.